Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and today I am joined by Alex Brown, a very frequent guest on the show. Welcome back, Alex.
Thank you very much, Graham. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
So today we're going to get into a little bit of a debate or just weigh some pros and cons. This is a question that some of our users have asked over the years, and we just wanted to kind of really go at it. And the question is, you know, what are the benefits of kind of a one-year MBA versus a two-year MBA? And how do those benefits play out? And, you know, even across geographies, Europe or, you know, Asia versus the US. So we really want to kind of unpack this, because we think that some people coming into the application process who are considering an MBA may be wondering, like, what do I do? You know, these are kind of very different offerings. So, Alex, I don't know if you want to maybe just outline for our listeners a little bit, just kind of talk through, like, what do we mean when we say one-year MBA versus a two-year MBA in terms of the way that things are structured?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity. So basically what we're talking about is the time frame that's available for a candidate to complete the degree. Typically, a one-year MBA will be a 12-month program, so the full 12 months, whereas a two-year MBA will actually generally start in August, September of 1 year, and finish in sort of May of the following year. So it's sort of like 18, 20 months or something.
Yeah, so it's kind of a misnomer, I guess you could say, right? It's sort of, you know, it's not really 2 years when we say 2 years. It's a little shy of that.
It's a little short of 2 years. And obviously, the two-year MBA affords more of an opportunity in the summertime between the two academic years to pursue an internship. So I think that is sort of the most significant difference between the two formats, is the opportunity to actually get out into the business world or whatever it is, and practice some of the things that you've learned and really experience some stuff as you sort of prepare for your post MBA career. So the 2 year generally includes an internship. I think a couple of the 1 year programs try to allow some kind of experiential learning, but certainly the 2 year model affords that much more so.
Yeah, I guess you could argue you're kind of in school in the 2 year from, you know, August, September, all the way through the following May. Then you get a break for the summer. Candidates have at least two, sometimes even more months to do, 2 or 3 months to do an internship. And then they return and do the same thing again, kind of September through to May when they graduate. And yes, you know, there are 1 year programs that allow for a kind of internship. They typically are a bit shorter because of just the time constraints, right? So I think there's a lot of sort of controversy. I remember when the one-year MBA kind of burst onto the scene. I mean, the one that comes to mind instantly for me is INSEAD in France and Singapore. I believe they also have a campus now in the Middle East as well. So they're kind of a very global business school, one-year format. When that first kind of, you know, became popular and available to the applicant pool, there was some controversy. But I want to, you know, can you kind of unpack what do you think some of the advantages of this sort of 1 year format are? Because I think, you know, INSEAD's done a good job of, you know, kind of explaining them over the years, and as have many of the other schools that are out there that do it. But can you explain what do you think are the kind of pros to doing a 1 year MBA?
Sure. I mean, the most obvious opportunity or advantage is you're back out in the workforce more quickly. So your disruption to your career is shorter. It's 1 month. It's 11 months or 12 months, obviously from a cost standpoint, there's opportunity cost to the 2 year MBA program is greater than the opportunity cost for the 1 year, and you're back earning your income, and you're back on the sort of your career trajectory much sooner. So that's the most obvious, pro to the 1 year program. On the side of the 2 year, they'd say, well, actually slow down a little bit. There's a lot more to the MBA program than to come and then to leave as quickly as possible. We have a lot of resources, you know, and I think certainly on the 2 year side, they would argue if you're wanting to look at different career opportunities or switch careers, the 2 year side would say, we offer a better opportunity for you to do that. And that then dials back into that internship through the summer and so forth.
Okay, so yeah, so faster, less of an opportunity cost. I guess by virtue of, as you say, by virtue of being in the program for just 1 year, in most cases, tuition will be less than it would be in a 2 year program.
That's possible, yes, but they're supposed to be taking the same number of credits. They're just taking them in a more intense format. So the living expense clearly is less.
Right. At minimum, yeah. And I think in some cases tuition is a little bit less, but it does vary from program to program. Now, one of the things that that INSEAD and other programs, you have Oxford, Cambridge, there are many programs that offer kind of a one-year format, particularly in Europe. One of the things they talk about is the kind of very intense kind of bonds that are forged within the student body in this format. Do you buy that? Is that something, is that something you've heard before as well?
I've heard the claim. Obviously, I've never experienced the one-year format. I worked for a two-year MBA at the Wharton School for many years and saw the bonds forged there in the two-year MBA format. I do know, or I can imagine, and I've heard persistently, that the intense environment that surrounds the one-year format, I mean, literally, as you begin, you just got a fire hose of stuff coming at you. So there's a level of intensity in the one-year program that's probably not quite there in the two-year. Does that then manifest into deeper bonds? You could probably make that argument. Certainly, you're probably going to have to stay up later at night doing classwork than you would in the two-year format.
I think some other potential positives around the one-year are that if you're just looking to kind of accelerate your career, so maybe you're a consultant, you're looking to move up in the ranks, or you're working for an entity and you just want to kind of stay within your same industry and perhaps even function, but move up in the ranks, gain more responsibility. I think you could argue that, the 1 year is an excellent accelerator. I think that, you could also argue that in parallel with that, you might be more likely to get employer support if you're leaving for a one-year MBA, again, because it's a shorter time that you'd be away, so your company might be more willing to kind of part with you. And also, again, given this notion that if you're just looking to accelerate a career, your employer would probably like that. They're obviously interested in having people move up in the ranks, and so I think there might be some advantages there. Is there anything that we're forgetting, like sort of other things that are really interesting or great about the one-year format? I think at some point we should talk a little bit about geography, because at the end of the day, the one-year format tends to be more prevalent outside of the United States, although that is changing a bit. But anything you want to say on that?
First off, I think you're exactly right. Employer support in the one-year program, just from a very pragmatic standpoint, makes a lot more sense. They get their candidate back into the business sooner. There's less risk of them jumping ship, which is a problem sometimes with the two-year program, even for sponsored candidates, seeing all the other opportunities and taking a little bit more time. Some of them do tend to jump ship. They're less likely to do that in the 1 year, so they get more support. You're also typically getting a student that might have worked a year or two longer in the 1 year program versus the 2 year program, so they tend to have a little bit more career under their belt going into the program, which might then manifest into a sort of slightly more mature student body as such. But I also think you raise a great point. In Europe, the one-year program is well established. INSEAD is the, as you noted, the first business school in Europe, and it started off with the one-year format in the 1950s, and lots of other top schools have followed that format. So very recently, Oxford and Cambridge used that format. But a number of it's kind of the de facto format in Europe, outside of schools like London Business School, I suppose, and ISA and a few others. But it's the standard, whereas in the US, the standard is the two-year MBA started by Harvard and accepted and is the standard model for all top-tier business schools. I think that's safe to say in the US, although some top-tier business schools in the US also have a one-year format. So rather than European schools, the top European schools that have one-year formats, that's their standard format. In the US, some top-tier schools have a one-year format, but it's not typically their standard. So I could list very quickly Kellogg as an example, Cornell, Stern with its tech and luxury, whatever it's called, sorry, I'm having a bit of a brain thing, sorry, luxury and fashion. So, but they're not their standard. So there is a difference there, I think.
Yeah, and I think we could even argue that, I mean, on some levels, Columbia has what I guess we would just call an accelerated MBA. It's a little more than a year. It's kind of splitting the difference between the two-year and the one-year program. So I agree. I mean, Europe is sort of the ground zero for one-year MBAs. And I think that means that in Europe, employers are more likely to be well aware, you know, of the format and perfectly okay with it. I don't know if that's absolutely true in the U.S. I think there's, you know, there's still some education taking place. And I think as long as the Harvards and Stanfords and Whartons are on a two-year format, there might be, you know, a little bit of skepticism in the States around the one-year format. But I think that's definitely been eroding over time. I mean, it's really different today than it was, you know, 20 years ago, for sure.
I would agree with you. And again, I think a symptom of that is the likes of Stern recently rolling out its one-year formats. You know, these are very good schools that have started to adapt. And I think the marketplace, and we've seen this in other instances, but the marketplace is adapting with you know, the whole sort of executive education marketplace, full-time MBA marketplace, online MBA, and so on and so forth. And a part of that willingness to adapt is potentially offering a one-year option versus the standard two-year option. But the likes of Kellogg has had the one-year option, I don't know for how many years, but a number of years at this point, I think.
Yeah, that's been out there in the marketplace as long as I can remember. And I think I was first working this field in the mid-90s or so. So I think it's been around for many, many years now. I do wonder, you know, to what extent, you know, the one-year format, obviously in Europe, the one-year format parallels nicely with the kind of specialized master's format that many, you know, many programs in business schools in Europe offer, you know, specialized master's in finance or marketing. And so the MBA is just, you know, kind of more the general management degree, and it's also on the one-year time frame. In the U.S., you know, there is less of that kind of specialized master's market, although it's starting to develop. But I do wonder, you know, you see Cornell's tech MBA, NYU, as you mentioned, has their fashion. They also have a tech MBA. It does beg the question as to whether there's some substitution happening where, because the MBA has such a kind of cachet and brand in the States, whether schools will just start to introduce kind of MBAs that are really more like specialized masters and kind of bill them as a one-year, you know, kind of specialized MBA, because that market in the States is so MBA-oriented at the basic level. Now, I'm just throwing that out there. That's kind of off the cuff, but I do wonder sometimes because I guess we'll see how this all develops in parallel as schools launch, you know, new programs. Anything else about the 1 year? I mean, I think we've said, just to kind of recap on the 1 year, we said, well, it's faster, so there's less opportunity cost. It could be cheaper at minimum in terms of cost of living. It could be that there are more intense bonds forged among students because it's, like you said, drinking from the fire hose. Maybe you're more likely to get employer support. It's a great bet if you're looking to accelerate your career. And I guess we were sort of saying at the end there that it's also very, very accepted in Europe, where the 1 year kind of was born, and increasingly, you know, becoming known in the States. So those are kind of the pros around the 1 year. Let's shift gears and talk a little bit about the two-year format, which we have kind of been dancing around a little bit as we describe the 1 year to provide contrast. But what do you think are the chief kind of benefits of the two-year MBA?
I think the main benefit that we've already touched upon is the opportunity to do an internship. And not only to do an internship, but to sort of take a deep breath, take a step back out of your career and really look at your options, be able to explore your options and test out your options before going directly back into sort of full-time recruiting, although I know full-time recruiting happens pretty quickly at most of the top business schools. But it is that sense that you can take a bit of time out from your career, take a deep breath, re-engineer to an extent, and then sort of get back out there. And clearly, for the career switcher, the two-year MBA, I believe, is fundamentally the better option. For those that are staying within the same career, then it's much more of a debate. But for the career switcher, I think it is the two-year MBA.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I think, as you say, there's more time to engineer a career shift, which is interesting because and more time for self-discovery. And those are both interesting because on some level, we tell candidates when they're applying to business school, go in with a plan, right? When you're writing your essays and everything, you know, you want to express to the committee that you have an idea of what you want to do. With that said, a lot of people arrive at business school and despite what they've outlined in their essays, they end up exploring new things. And I think there's more opportunity for that in the two-year format, to kind of look into other fields, take some elective courses in a domain, have an internship. I mean, I see time and time again, people will intern in one field and then ultimately in the second year just decide to recruit for something else and land that job. And it's not as easy as if they had interned with the same company that they ultimately go to work for, but it's done all the time.
But also to that point, Graham, of going in with a plan, I still think it's really valid in the application to have a well-developed plan. If you get to business school, you're exposed to some things that you weren't expecting, and then that plan starts to shift. I think you still make deliberate moves in your shift. If you go to business school without a plan, I think you're just going to get overwhelmed with all the different opportunities and not be able to make good, well-developed choices. So the plan allows you to make choices, even if those choices ultimately steer you away from that original plan. So just to defend what we do in admissions on that particular point. Also, you know, you hear cases of people going into their two-year program or whatever, you know, their standard program in the US, and deliberately take an internship in a field that they know that they're not going to pursue long term. But this is their only chance to explore something different and then bring that experience to their field of choice. So they might be a consultant and have consulting experience going into their MBA, and they might very well plan to return to consulting after their MBA. But this might be their chance to, let's say, get some real hands-on tech experience in Silicon Valley and then be able to bring that back to consulting. So something like that you could only really do in that two-year format.
Yeah, that's fair. To speak more around this two-year format, I mean, one of the things that jumps out at me is it feels like there's more time for a holistic experience. And what I mean by that is, you know, you can do study abroad, for example, or at least longer kind of exchanges. I know that there are programs like, you know, INSEAD is 1 year and you have to actually bounce between Singapore and the Fontainebleau, France campus. But at the end of the day, the two-year format allows for you to literally go and spend a semester somewhere without like missing out on the experience, you know. So I think there's just more options there. They're often more kind of programs within the program, you know, special tracks or things that you can pursue because of the fact that there's like more elective coursework. I just feel like there's something in that, you know, the format that allows for you to get take advantage of different programs and opportunities that may not be as abundant in the one-year format. I also think that you hinted at this before, but this idea of going away for the summer and having the benefit of an internship is great, right? But also like stepping away from the campus and the business school experience only to then return a couple months later. It just provides for like a learning experience. And I can still recall in my own experience, like going back for the second year of business school at Wharton, it was great. Like to return and see all these people that you'd had this really intense 1 year experience with and to kind of rediscover them and then have this great elective coursework dominated second year. So there's kind of a social aspect or kind of, you know, I think the bonds, we were saying earlier that there's some really strong bonds forged in a 1 year program. I think those bonds are, you know, can be equally strong in the two-year program, and in some cases stronger because of just the amount of time that you have with one another and the little break that you get in the middle.
I would agree, not having had the direct experience that you've had, but seeing it through the students I've been around. You also get the thought that sort of that, you know, in the one-year program, programs which are fantastic for the right people, for sure, that level of intensity, and you've got to keep that up through the sort of 12 months, you know, can be a little, I don't know, a little over the top, I guess, at some point. But with the two-year program, you can take a deep breath. You can switch gears. Like you say, you do step away a little bit when you do your internship. Then you come back again and ratchet up again on the academic side. So I think just that flexibility and that jumping around a little bit actually really helps develop. The other interesting factor, you know, with a two-year MBA is you also engage with when you're a first year, you have the opportunity to engage with second year students. And when you're a second year student, you have the opportunity to engage with incoming students. So you get a bit of a broader network, a broader direct network during your 2 year experience, which you're probably not going to get access to in the 1 year program.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Now, I think in some programs, I believe, you know, like INSEAD, for example, they have some people coming in January and some people coming in September. And so you probably rub elbows with, you know, people who are kind of on their way in or on their way out. But generally speaking, in a one-year format, yeah, you're not, you know, I mean, I distinctly recall at Wharton, and I know this is true at most of the two-year programs, you get some time with second years when you're a first year, in most instances, because they're in these kind of mentoring roles or they're running the clubs that you join. And then the torch is passed to you when you move to become a second year, and you're then mentoring the first years and running the clubs that those incoming students join. And so that's a whole other experience where, you know, I literally, you know, I have people in my network who were from the year above me in business school and people who were from the year after me. So that is important to remember. I guess on a related note, I think about kind of institutional, I don't know if the right word is institutional knowledge and the idea that, you know, the people running a certain club on campus, there's never a moment where this slate is wiped clean and new people have to kind of, you know, kind of reinvent the wheel, if you will, right? So in a two-year program, because you're basically, when you're a second year, you're running the finance club or whatever club it is, and you're recruiting first years in, and you're showing them the ropes and how the club functions, and there's this kind of knowledge being passed down the line. I think that with the one-year format, that's not as easy to accomplish, right? I think, you know, it's just by nature. I mean, there are clubs that come and go year to year at some of these one-year programs because it's really based on student interest, and you don't have this kind of two-year time span to kind of capture enough students together who are interested in a subject area. And so if there just aren't enough people in a given academic year, then maybe that club doesn't exist for that year, right? So I think there are some benefits to this kind of institutional knowledge sharing or, you know, passing things down from one class to another in light of the overlap that a two-year provides.
Let me ask you a question then, Graham, because I think certainly on the US side, the two-year MBA is sort of more the gold standard, and so in Europe, clearly the 1 year is the more dominant choice. But in the US, the two-year MBA is the gold standard. And I think we've articulated some pretty substantial reasons why you know, the 2 year may provide some more value than the 1 year, but clearly at a higher cost than the 1 year. But given the marketplace shifts, I would hypothesize that more candidates are now starting to look at a 1 year option rather than spending 2 years away from work. So that's what I would hypothesize to some degree. Would you agree, and would you argue that they can have as good an experience in a one-year MBA program in the US as a two-year program?
Yeah. Well, I think, okay, so the first part of that is I absolutely agree with you that candidates are, you know, increasingly discerning. Now, some of that is because the job market is so strong and the opportunity cost so high, right, to leave the workforce. So I think people are more and more discerning about, well, what am I getting into here? What's it going to cost me? I think there's some aversion to debt amongst the current generation that maybe wasn't there when I was applying to business school. And again, with good reason, right? Prices keep going up. And, you know, so there are all kinds of reasons for candidates to be skeptical. I do wonder whether or not the experience in the 1 year can really rival the 2 year when it comes to some of these extra things like clubs and just, you know, the social aspect. But what's interesting to me is that I feel like, I mean, MBA candidates at large have never been ones to sort of, there's always a focus on like, okay, I'm going to go to business school and it's kind of a means to an end, right? I want this job, I want this salary, I want to live in this market or, you know, do X, Y, and Z. And so I think sometimes among MBA applicants, there's often been, they could easily be criticized for not, what is the expression? Seeing the forest for the trees, like actually realizing that, oh, I'm going to be spending 2 years of my life on this campus with these individuals and joining these clubs or whatever it is. So I think sometimes candidates don't step back and think about that. It's all about like, what's next? And as long as that, if that attitude or that kind of mentality, continues to kind of grow, then by all means, the 1 year feels more appealing, right? Because it's just sort of like, well, the sooner I can get it done, the better. And I used to joke when I was working in admissions a little bit that there were some candidates who would come through the pipeline and he'd sort of be like, you almost felt like if you could sit down with them in private in a room and be like, hey, listen, write me a check, $100,000, I'll just give you the degree. You can put it on your resume, we're done here. You know, and you got the sense that there were people in the pool who would have taken that deal. You know, that they were just like, yeah, I need the degree on my resume. I want to move up in the ranks at work. And I'm not saying that people are unethical. I'm just saying that they really valued their time and they just wanted the degree. They weren't really thinking about the educational value or the social value or the kind of life-changing experience that you read a lot about in the brochures of business schools. And so, yeah, I think for better or for worse, in this era where candidates are not really used to waiting long for anything, whether it's, you know, the next series they want to watch on TV or, you know, a song on Spotify, I think there's this urgency around everything. Like, can we do it faster? And so the 1 year has those advantages in that kind of a marketplace.
So, for instance, if you have a candidate that's you know, a highbrow full-time candidate that knows that she wants to stay in the same career, in the same field, recognizes that, you know, the value of the MBA in terms of getting some additional skills and so on and so forth, but, you know, has four or five or six years of experience under her belt and, you know, maybe a business undergraduate degree or at least some business academics in her undergraduate degree. How would you argue the Kellogg 2 year experience versus the Kellogg 1 year experience in her case?
I think it'd be challenging. I think it would depend on, you know, in some respects, sometimes people pursue the MBA to kind of take a break, even though it's hard. You have to work hard in an MBA program, but it's a break from the kind of rat race of the workplace. But I think, yeah, in the instance of the individual you're talking about, if they have an undergraduate foundation in business, if they already have 5 or 6 years of experience, and, you know, you could argue that the 1 year and obviously here we're talking about Kellogg, it's a, you know, top MBA program, great brand. I don't think an employer is going to bat an eye when they see, you know, whether the person did the Kellogg 2 year or the accelerated, because now there is one caveat, and that is that I'd have to double check, but I believe Kellogg actually likes it when you do the accelerated and are a little bit younger or not so far removed from your undergraduate experience, because they're, one of the things that they're really relying on is your ability to dive right into the next level material. And they're hoping that because you covered it in undergrad, you'll be fine. And so I think there is kind of like a statute of limitations where if you're more than like, I can't remember if it's, you know, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is, out of undergrad, then they sometimes are a little more cautious because they worry that you've sort of forgotten some of those foundational underpinnings. But I do think, yeah, it's a really good question. I think obviously, you know, in the US, Kellogg has such a great brand. And so whether it's 1 year or two, you know, it may not matter as much. But I think if that person were to say, I could go to Kellogg for 2 years, or I could go to, you know, School X in England, which is a 1 year program, I might have some pause around that. It depends where they want to work. Are they trying to, you know, transition their career to get a job in the UK or in the EU or something? Or are they just coming back home afterwards? Then it's, you know, then you get into the, well, maybe the US school is the better brand and the better experience to have on your, you know, a better network, et cetera. So it's a tough call there.
Or in that case, if their employer is going to sponsor them, they could come back to their employer. So Like you said, you mentioned earlier in the podcast, you know, employers may be more inclined to sponsor someone through a one-year program versus a two-year program. So they could get creative and go to their employer and try to push the 1 year, and you're knowing that they'll come back, especially if it's a global company. But anyway, we digress a little bit. I think the point, I think, in the US is that the one-year program isn't as well developed in terms of there aren't as many options at top-tier schools. But we focused on Kellogg in that conversation just to show that if the option is there, I think for certain candidates, it is absolutely a viable option. And as you noted, Graham, I don't think employers at the end of the day are going to discriminate between a one-year or a two-year MBA. It's the Kellogg brand, the Kellogg network, and what you've learned at Kellogg in that particular case that's going to count, right?
Yeah, although I'm going to, you know, I'll lay to bear my touchy-feely side here and say that, you know, looking back on the experience just personally, you know, and it's several years back now, I don't regret taking those 2 years. In fact, those were two of the better years, you know, of my kind of, you know, of my life. Like, they were great, great years. And I met a lot of, you know, really interesting students and those bonds. And in fact, some of my closer friends from business school are people that I didn't meet until the second year when I got into elective coursework. And so I think there are benefits, but I recognize not everyone has the luxury to kind of make that choice, right? Some people, they really have a financial constraint and they just need to get it done fast, or you know, their employer's saying, look, a year, okay, but two, no, you know, I'm not going to let you just go off. So the one other thing, though, I think we should discuss is, do you think that coming out of the 1 year, like we always see, you know, INSEAD, for example, places a ton of people into consulting, right? I mean, they are the school that, I mean, I think they kind of lead the pack every year in terms of the volume of people that they're placing at McKinsey, Bain, BCG, all the top firms. And they tout that. And I think candidates appreciate that aspect of the program. But the one thing that I thought is kind of interesting is I wonder to what extent the one-year programs are as well equipped to sort of push people into more diverse fields, right? So if it's not the kind of banking, consulting, obviously the tech jobs are now big too. But I just wonder, you know, some of the more niche areas where you need more time to do elective coursework or to network your way into these fields. I just wonder to what extent, you know, you're better served in a longer program when you're targeting something that's not as sort of pedestrian.
Yeah, I think you raise a very good point. And clearly some of these one-year programs, certainly the newer ones in the States, target specific industries, whether it's a tech MBA or a luxury. I can never get fashion and luxury, sorry.
Yeah,
fashion, so luxury. So clearly if they're targeting a particular industry, they're going to gear up to satisfy candidates interested in those industries. But I think you do make a good point when you step beyond the traditional feeder industries like consulting, banking and tech. Things are going to be a little bit trickier. And, you know, as a candidate, you do more work in any MBA in those regards. So you're going to have to do some of the work yourselves along with career management. And that just might be more challenging in a one-year program. I think the big factor here, and we've mentioned this a couple of times now, is for career switchers, 1 year is going to be super challenging. 2 year is going to be more opportunity to find the spot that you're looking for.
Right. And I think we should probably define switchers in the sense that, you know, I always look at it, you know, you have your industry and your function. And if you're a McKinsey consultant working on healthcare cases over and over again, you know, you could say that your industry focus is kind of healthcare, your function is consultant. And if you want to go to INSEAD and then work for GlaxoSmithKline or any of the big pharma companies, that's probably doable, right? You're just taking a kind of half step because you're moving one of those variables. But I think if you're trying to move both variables, like let's say you're an investment banker and you want to go work, you know, in healthcare, and you have had no investment banking experience around healthcare. It's not like all of your clients as an investment banker were healthcare companies that you're taking public or something. That can be a more of a challenge. And I think that's where, yeah, the 2 years gives you a chance to stretch out. I also would argue that for entrepreneurs, unless you already have a business plan or just looking to get some skills and quickly get back out there, that the two-year format can be better for an entrepreneur because the business schools provide so much support in crafting a business plan, identifying financing options, and all that goes with that, finding your, you know, building your network, et cetera. So I think, yeah, there are pros and cons, but I think you're right. A career switcher may be more, you know, just better suited to a two-year format.
Yeah, and this all then dials back into to the application processes. As you're applying to these schools, you need to be well aware of the advantages of 2 year versus 1 year, 1 year versus 2 year, as you apply to, let's say, a 1 year program, so that you hit all the markers to show the admissions committee that you really thought this through, and you know why the 1 year MBA, or in the case the 2 year MBA, is the right choice for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think, yeah, I think, you know, just to go back over this, I mean, I really feel like, you know, both program formats have a lot of advantages, right? So there's, as we said, you know, 1 year, it's faster, it can be cheaper, it can be very intense, you can get employer support, you know, you can really accelerate your career in an accelerated fashion, right? With the 2 year, more time to engineer a career shift, more elective coursework. It's maybe more of a holistic experience with opportunities to study abroad or join more clubs or get to know kids on either side of your class year, you know, bonds with classmates, you know, so there are benefits to both of these. And I think, yeah, just if you're a candidate, I mean, the thing that always strikes me is when someone's applying to both, that's always struck me when someone says, yeah, I'm applying to these, you know, 3 1-year programs and these, you know, these couple of 2-year programs, are kind of like, well, you know, you might want to figure this out first, because it's usually, you know, one is going to be better suited for you than the other. But in any event, I think, it's an evolving market. I think it'd be really interesting to see how the 2 year format evolves in the U.S. and whether there are more and more of these 1 year specialized MBAs, if we can call them that. But yeah, I just, you know, I think this is something that requires research on the part of the candidate before they dive in. Any final thoughts that you had on this?
No, I think you summarized it very well. I do think in the next few years going forward, we might see more 1 year opportunities in the US just as the overall marketplace starts shifting to this sort of idea of, you know, people wanting to get back out there in the business world more quickly in a more accelerated format. So the marketplace will tend to shift for that, and other schools may follow the lead of the likes of Kellogg and Cornell and Stern and Marshall, I think, and Emory and so forth, right? So it's all very interesting times, but I think the key for candidates is to know why you're applying to the type of business program that you're applying to. So really understanding what the 1 year can provide you versus what the 2 year can provide you if you're applying to one or the other.
Yeah, well said. And I want to just something more on a more personal note. You know, we recorded this podcast today. I actually relocated because they're doing work on our office. The space I normally use is they're literally, you know, drilling the place apart. So I had to find a quiet space. So I went to another office, and it turns out that it happens to be on a very busy street. So I apologize to our listeners for the background noise, but you've been serenaded with the sounds of street traffic and things, as Alex and I had this very heavy conversation about 1 year versus two. As always, we really appreciate you listening. Please rate and review this podcast on iTunes. You know, we just love to hear from you. And, you know, a couple of you have sent us ideas for future podcast episodes, and we've tried to fulfill those where possible. So keep doing that. Stay in touch with us. Check out the Clear Admit site. We're obviously, this is a great time of year to be, you know, thinking about business school and where you're going to go. And there'll be more episodes of this, you know, kind of road mapping type to come. So stay tuned. And Alex, thanks so much again for all your time today.
No, thank you very much for having me, Graham, and look forward to our next podcast.
All right, sounds good. See everyone soon. Bye-bye.
Take care.